As you'll see in the space shuttle analysis that follows, it's pretty easy to determine whether something is a cul-de-sac or a dip. The hard part is finding the guts to do something about it. Optimistic entrepreneurs and employees who blithely wander into a serious business, totally outgunned and unprepared to work their way through the dip ahead, are in danger of building a space shuttle. There's nothing wrong with optimism. The pain and the waste comes when the optimists have to make hard choices when they get stuck in the dip. I think we should cancel the space shuttle. The space shuttle is a cul-de-sac, not a dip. When pundits argue in favor of the shuttle, they don't say, we should keep doing this because it's going to get safer or cheaper or more productive over time. The only reason the shuttle still exists is that no one has the guts to cancel it. There's no reason to keep investing in something that is not going to get better. In fact, if we canceled the shuttle, we'd create an urgent need for a replacement. The lack of a way to get to space would force us to invent a new, better, cheaper alternative. So why don't we cancel it? Why not quit? Same reason as always. Because day to day, it's easier to stick with something that we're used to, that doesn't make too many waves, that doesn't hurt. The goal of any competitor is to create the valley of death, a dip so long and so deep that the nascent competition can't catch up. Microsoft does it. They've built so many relationships and established so many standards that it's essentially inconceivable that someone will challenge Word or Excel, at least until the platform changes. Intuit made it through the dip, though, and now their Quicken accounting software is just as secure as Word is as a word processor. Make it through the competition's barriers, and you get to be king for a while. But wait, you say, isn't Google going hard after Microsoft by creating web-based versions of spreadsheets and word processors? Yes. But even mighty Google knows that they can't do that without changing the platform from the PC to the web. But now, with a new platform, Google has a much easier path to follow. Apple's done the same thing with iTunes and the iPod. First, they took advantage of a new platform to destroy the Tower Records of the world. Then, instead of resting on their lead, Apple built all sorts of systems and benefits that make it extremely difficult for someone to persevere long enough to come out ahead at the other end. Professions do this as well. Lawyers, for example, have continually increased how difficult it is to pass the bar exam, lengthening the dip and making life better on the other side for everyone who is already a lawyer. If you can keep going when the system is expecting you to stop, you will achieve extraordinary results. People who make it through the dip are scarce indeed, so they generate more value. When you're the best in the world, you share the benefits, the income, the attention, the privileges, the respect, with just a handful of people or organizations or brands. That male magazine model with the great abs gets work precisely because so many people have quit in their quest to get what he's got. You know this already. You're not stupid, and you've noticed all your life that the big benefits accrue to those who don't quit. And it hasn't made a difference so far, so why should you listen to me now? Simple. It's about the story you tell yourself. You grew up believing that quitting is a moral failing. Quitting feels like a go-down moment, a moment where you look yourself in the eye and blink. Of course you are trying your best, but you just can't do it. It's that whole Vince Lombardi thing. If you were just a better person, you wouldn't quit. I'd rather have you focus on quitting or not quitting, as a go-up opportunity. It's not about avoiding the humiliation of failure. Even more important, you can realize that quitting the stuff you don't care about, or the stuff you're mediocre at, or better yet, quitting the cul-de-sacs, frees up your resources to obsess about the dips that matter. If you're going to quit, quit before you start. Reject the system. Don't play the game if you realize you can't be the best in the world. Average is for losers. Quitting at the right time is difficult. Most of us don't have the guts to quit. Worse, when faced with the dip, sometimes we don't quit. Instead, we get mediocre. The most common response to the dip is to play it safe, to do ordinary work, blameless work, work that's beyond reproach. When faced with the dip, most people suck it up and try to average their way to success, which is precisely why so few people end up as the best in the world. To be a superstar, you must do something exceptional. Not just survive the dip, but use the dip as an opportunity to create something so extraordinary that people can't help but talk about it, recommend it, and yes, choose it. The next time you catch yourself being average when you feel like quitting, realize that you only have two good choices: quit or be exceptional. Average is for losers. Am I being too harsh? Isn't your time and your effort and your career and your reputation too valuable to squander on just being average? Average feels safe, but it's not. It's invisible. It's the last choice, the path of least resistance. The temptation to be average is just another kind of quitting, the kind to be avoided. You deserve better than average.